It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's back. We're going to talk about the release of Microsoft's biggest phone on Easter Sunday, a roadmap leak about Windows and Office 15, and Gartner says Microsoft's share in the tablet space will be woefully small next year. We'll talk about it next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 256, recorded April 12th, 2012. Cranky Birds. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, helping keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. And by GoToMyPC. Take care of last-minute requests from anywhere, right from your phone, with the GoToMyPC app for iPhone. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Use the offer code Windows. And by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that's simple. Upgrade to a premium domain and trade in your old clunkers by visiting windows.hover.com. It's time for Windows Weekly. I'm sorry. You know what I'm going to do, Paul and Mary Jo? I'm going to come up for every show with a signature, a trademark introduction that I can patent, like that guy who said, "Let's get ready to rumble." He actually patented that. I couldn't use that.
Yeah, no, I know.
He'd sue me. So it's time for Windows Weekly. Here he is, Paul.
I'm sure that's not different enough.
in the gray trunks, and I don't know what he's wearing for pants, but in the gray trunks, it's Paul Thurrott, ladies and gentlemen.
Oddly enough,
yes.
I will show you something. This is a little embarrassing.
Yeah, he's wearing shorts. Of course he is. In gray trunks. I didn't even know that, and I got it right. All right, let me see if I can guess what Mary Jo's wearing. Maybe I better.
No.
Paul Thurrott is for the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, and is the author of many great Windows Secrets books, including the new one, which is on its way, Windows 8 Secrets. Mary Jo Foley is here on the right. She is, of course, the prolific blogger at allaboutmicrosoft.com, who keeps track of all of Microsoft's foibles in great detail. And between the two of them, there ain't nothing that goes down in Redmond that they don't have their finger on.
Usually the middle finger.
I was feeling so sad for Paul when I saw your tweet.
Which one?
It was something like, you know, Microsoft, Nokia, and AT&T announced the greatest Windows phone ever. And go on sale on Easter Sunday, and then something sad like I give up.
I had lunch with my wife. Was it that day? I think it was that day, and she said, "Why didn't you take a picture of the non-existent line in front of the AT&T store with all the lights out? You know, that would have like really sealed it. You know,
so sad.
Yeah.
But did you hear why supposedly they did that?
Because they wanted to avoid lines.
No.
Yeah.
Actually,
right.
that might have been a reason, but Fierce Wireless got somebody from Nokia to say why they did this, and they said that AT&T requires you to stock a new phone on Sundays. So it was like a policy thing, supposedly.
Unless you're an iPhone, in which case it's a Friday. Right? Come on. Yeah.
I don't know.
iPhone gets all kinds of passes. I can assure you there's not ever been an iPhone made that has passed AT&T's drop test. But they still sell them.
That's a good point. But I'm telling you, I mean, iPhones go on sale on Friday because you want to maximize the line.
Yeah.
It's always you mean someone actually looked into the best time to do something like that.
I mean, I can pretty much, I don't know what the best day of the week is, but I pretty much can guarantee it's not Easter Sunday. Part of it is it's not Easter Sunday in Finland. It's Monday already.
It's not Easter Sunday for a lot of people, but that's not really the point.
The point is the store's not open.
Over whether it should be a holiday or not, but it is. So for a lot of the country, unfortunately.
The store's not open. That's the main thing.
It's not, nothing.
Any Sunday would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. Yeah. All right. I did that out of order, but I just couldn't. The tweet was so sad. It was like.
Well, you know, seriously, like, Mark, listen, you know this. You've been dealing with me for years, right?
I've been dealing with you.
I want to have good news to report to people, right? I want to be positive.
I know.
Unfortunately, too often in this business, in my line of work anyway, you're just met by the stupidity that occurs from these companies. And it's just mind-bogglingly disappointing sometimes, you know? And between the three of them, AT&T, Microsoft, and Nokia, did this not come up in a conference call or nothing? No? Nobody?
Yeah.
Astonishing.
I know. And Friday, you know why Friday would have been even more awesome? Because they had this big promotion in New York in Times Square the Friday before Easter. On Good Friday, they did this.
Right.
They had Nicki Minaj. They had a whole big light show in Times Square. And then nothing. For 2 days, nothing.
The good news is we're hearing that they're getting each AT&T sales rep gets, $50 to sell one of these phones, something like that. They're going to push it, right? When the stores did open later that week. They did promote it, didn't they?
They didn't push the hell of it on Sunday, I can tell you that.
I'm busy eating my ham.
So there's two different sides to this. What happened once the stores were open.
Right,
so,
right. What happened?
News.com went around and some of their reporters posed as first-time buyers for smartphones.
What is it, secret shoppers? I love that.
I would love it.
So they go
into
five stores in New York,
and they
try to get them to sell them a Lumia, and they all told them they should go with an iPhone.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's because they were young and hip.
I think it was just they haven't gotten through the...
I went into the Adam store and was blown away by how knowledgeable they were about the Lumia 900 and positive about it. And yes. And by the way, and without me prompting them. I mean...
That's good.
I was impressed by that.
I happened to be in an AT&T store, I think, the Wednesday before, and the sales rep had one.
They had gotten them earlier.
He pulled out his Lumia, which is funny because we were told not to say a word about the one that we had, blah, blah, blah. And he was waxing ecstatic. He loved it.
Yeah.
He was happy about it. So, I mean.
And I tweeted about the news.com story and I said, wow, this is so disappointing because this is what's been happening all along. And I thought things were going to be different.
Right.
So then a whole bunch of people came out on Twitter and said, that's not what happened to me. I had an awesome experience. When I went to my store, they were all over it. People loved the phone. They were trying to sell it. So,
Weird that CNET would publish something that was vaguely anti-Microsoft, though, you know.
No,
they had an agenda, really?
No. Now, listen, though, that story isn't actually anti-Microsoft. They actually went in and said, look, we really want the Lumia. We love this. We want it. And they tried to buy it, So I blame New York. I'm from New York. I live here, but I blame New York.
You guys are too cool for school. You're not going to ever be Windows Phone. This is awesome. It's just not cool enough.
It's what the kids are using, Leo.
I feel bad because I wish they'd kept the Kin around, and I wish you and I had this conversation, Paul. I thought
my
Kin
son
was,
still uses the Kin.
Yeah, it's a great phone for young people. They should have sold it with no data plan. Yep. It would have been huge. Kids would have used it with Messenger in high school. It would have been popular. And it's just the failure of marketing. I understand why you get frustrated because this Lumia 900 is a great phone. And so it needs to be. I'm glad to hear that.
It's so immediately, obviously excellent.
Yeah.
You just have to see it. And then it's beautiful. Screen is beautiful. The way it feels in your hand is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's really nice. I mean, you have to really just either be a complete ass or trying really hard to say something, wholeheartedly bad about this
thing. The reviews have been positive, haven't they?
It's nice. I would, I haven't read them.
Our review was positive.
I would. My understanding, based on headlines and so forth, is that they're mostly positive. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten a lot of comments.
Extremely positive.
Yeah,
yeah. I think even the camera, which is probably not quite iPhone 4S quality, is still very good, very easy to use. It's got a great screen. You're right. Look and feel, it could not be better.
Yeah, no, it's stunning.
Yeah.
And people comment on it, you know, which is a sure sign of something right.
I think that's true. You're right, yeah.
As good as, you know, like a Samsung Focus S, which is a fine phone. It's fine.
It's just a black piece of glass.
It doesn't look like anything. Yeah. It looks like an Android phone. You'd have no idea that there was anything special going on there at all. This one really stands out.
Yeah. And they did have they had a problem with data connections that on some undetermined number of phones, but Nokia, to their credit, came right out of the gate and said, okay, we're going to replace those phones. Yep. We've got a fix. It's a software fix. And we're going to give every single person between now and April 21st who buys a phone, even if you don't have the problem, we're going to give you $100 credit.
Wasn't that neat?
I like it better when the company blames the people who are complaining.
And then you're holding it wrong. Time
and then has a press conference where they talk about other stuff and pretend that that's not a problem. And then everyone who is supposed to be in the press actually believes them.
Right.
And then the problem supposedly goes away, even though they actually never fixed it.
Right.
I think that's a way better approach.
Mm-hmm. You're connecting.
Am I too sarcastic for most people?
The lack of Wi-Fi.
Let me say this a different way.
It's your imagination.
Yeah.
What was it? It was Wi-Fi. It was the problem.
They said it was a software issue with power management that somehow, in some cases, would
turning it off
impact the data connection. But it was just a software fix. And the mysterious bit of this story is that supposedly on the 16th, which I think is Monday, they're supposedly going to be rolling out some kind of a software update that will fix this problem. So I ask you this. How is it that we've spent the last 18 months complaining that AT&T never rolls out any software updates for anything on Windows Phone?
Isn't that interesting?
And yet this thing is going to be slipstreamed to users in some magical, imaginary fashion immediately.
Does anybody know? I know. I could tell you. I can guess. Microsoft wrote a big check, or Nokia wrote a big check. Somebody wrote a check and said, no, you're going to fix this. This is too important to our future as a company Nokia. To Windows Phone.
If I were going to bet money, I wouldn't say someone wrote a check. I think it's more along the lines that because of deals that were previously in place between Nokia and AT&T probably, this is a big deal for both of these companies. And I think that this is even though AT&T has obviously launched multiple phones and so forth, I mean, I think this is the one where they thought this is going to take off. You know, we should put something behind this. And I think this is maybe the first time when, you know, it actually behooves AT&T to do the right thing. You know, it's amazing what you can do when your own self-interest is at stake. AT&T, I don't think this really cared before. There were probably too few users to justify rolling out those updates or to care about it. But this time, I think they care. And so it's interesting. You know, it's going to be less than a week later, and they're going to fix it.
Wow.
Hilarious.
Never happened on a Windows phone before. Remember how long we suffered with the first generation Windows 7 phone?
Yeah, the entire time.
There were legitimate bugs and issues and...
Yeah. There still are.
Well, we're still waiting for disappearing keyboard fixes for many of those phones. So.
That's like a little arcade game you get to play every time you want a text message.
Where'd it go? Oh, here. Oh, wow.
Something to Facebook. It's hilarious.
It's a new...
Although supposedly we're going to get the disappearing keyboard fix on Verizon sometime soon, maybe.
Jeez.
Possibly. Well, supposedly some AT&T phones are going to get it sometime as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like saying, you know, the Mayans will be proven right eventually. But, you know, when, we don't know.
Wow. Anyway, congratulations. I popped some champagne on Easter Sunday. I celebrated with a giant ham. I had chocolate, a lot of chocolate Easter eggs.
Yeah, but Leo, I'm sorry, but how is this different from an average Sunday in the castle? Like champagne and a giant ham.
Alfred, bring the ham. Let's take a break. Then when we come back, we got a roadmap, a cross-product group roadmap. We're talking about Office, IE, and something known as Antares. If you listen carefully, you've heard Mary Jo talk about that. Also, Windows 8 tablets, Gartner Group's not bullish. XP support, end of line, and more. But first, I want to talk a little bit about our friends at the Ford Motor Company. Big fan, as you know. I drive my 2010 Mustang everywhere. It's now, you know, it's funny. I now actually, somebody the other day they leaned out the window and gave me the thumbs up, and I'm not sure if it was because of the Mustang, which I have to admit is sharp, because of my great good looks, or perhaps they were Twit listeners. And if it's the last, thank you. I salute you. But I do think it's kind of pretty distinctive when I'm driving down the road in that red Mustang with the license plate that say twit.tv on it. I just love it. And I have to say, you will notice when you see me, and I challenge you, you will notice I am looking at the road. I have my hands on the wheel. I am a good driver. I am a safe driver. Partly because I have a kid who's learning to drive right now, and I make sure I set a good example. But also because with Ford Sync, I don't have to look down, twiddle knobs, fiddle with anything. No, I can talk to my car and tell it what to do. Everything from making a call to getting directions, even things you wouldn't even expect, like setting the cabin temperature, asking for the nearest gas station prices, horoscopes, and a whole lot more. And now with AppLink, It's just exploding. Well, that's a bad word to use when you're talking about cars. It's just taking off. Maybe also a bad word. Because the app developers now for iPhone, Android phone, and yes, Windows Mobile, Windows Phone 7, can work with Ford to put sync in the phone. How does that work? Well, when you get in the car, and this, you know, I always connect via Bluetooth, but you also have a USB connector in every Ford Sync vehicle. You connect the USB or the Bluetooth. Now you can talk to your phone and the apps that are AppLink enabled. So Pandora, for example, you can say, you know, play my Lady Gaga station. You can say thumbs up, thumbs down. You can say, save, bookmark this song for when I get home so I can buy it. They've got Stitcher and Slacker Radio. That's great for news and talk radio and podcasts, of course. OpenBeak for Twitter. And some new apps that we haven't mentioned before, like NPR. The NPR app is now sync enabled. You can tell. So, you don't have to pick up the phone. You don't have to touch the phone. This is the idea. You're driving. Your eyes are on the road. Your hands are on the wheel. And you say, you know, play NPR. I want to hear All Things Considered. It'll do it. They have an iHeartRadio app. You probably used that before. In fact, that's how you listen to my radio show on KFI and the other stations that I'm on. We're part of that. So the ThumbPlay service works. You can use simple voice commands to find saved stations. Skip to the next song on the radio part of it. Give a song a thumbs up. They've got sync destinations. Some of the sync vehicles don't have the big screen like mine do. They have a smaller screen with, and they do have turn-by-turn directions, but it's all audio. You can use sync destinations on your smartphone to get access to navigation and directions. So just some really nice features. Ford has a complete API for developers and a mobile application developer network that helps developers work with Ford directly about their app ideas. So all of this is just, I think, very, you know, kind of cool, and I wanted to celebrate it. You can find out more about Sync, AppLink, and other technologies at their website, ford.com/technology. That's the page they made for us geeks. But, you know, the best thing to do is go to a Ford dealer near you and drive one. Say, I want to try a Fiesta or a Focus or that new Taurus SHO. I want to try one with AppLink, and they'll, you know, get you in. They'll set up your phone. They'll do the whole thing so that you can try it. Ford.com/technology. We thank them for their support. Speaking of driving, let's get a roadmap, a cross-product group roadmap. And this is a leak, right?
Yes, this is a leak.
This isn't something they told you.
No. So I'll give you the backstory of what happened. There's a guy named Martin Visser, who's the CEO of a new SharePoint company called Metro. And he tweeted a week ago, hey, I just downloaded some roadmaps from Microsoft's partner network.
Whoops.
So I started asking him some questions. I'm like, yeah, well, I think that's probably confidential, right? And he's like, nope, they didn't password protect it. It's open. Anybody can do it. And so I checked, and yes, indeed, it was open. Whoops. And anybody could do it. So, you know, you always have to take these roadmaps with a grain of salt, right? Like, these are pretty vague roadmaps, but
Are they like PowerPoint presentations for the sales force, or, you know, what is it that you're seeing? I mean, who's it for?
This is for Microsoft's partners, so they can kind of think ahead, you know, okay, what has Microsoft got coming out in the next year plus? So if you look at these roadmaps, you know, it lists it by product, and then it tells you, okay, here's where we're at, and here's what the next step is. So, you know, there's obviously nothing about Windows 8 on here. Like, that whole part of the roadmap is pretty much blank,
right,
not surprisingly.
Of course,
because, you know, they're going to control that. But the most interesting part to me was Office 15. There's some interesting dates as far as what is and isn't there. So there's no RTM date listed. Paul and I have both heard they're trying to RTM this product this year, probably like towards November. But then the general availability date for all the Office 15 stuff, like the clients, the servers and all that, is shown as early 2013. So I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be probably called Office 2013, given that, right? What else is interesting? The IE10 thing on here is very kind of confusing and interesting. It shows, it has all these little weird symbols, like you have to kind of look at the colors and the shapes and try to figure out what they mean. But IE10 looks like something is coming middle of this year that they're saying is general availability. So that's weird, because you'd think IE10 would be pretty tightly linked to Windows 8.
Which is probably October, right? So this is earlier. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, so that's the confusion.
Remember that IE9 shipped some months before Windows 7.
It did.
So maybe that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that. And then there's some parts of the roadmap that Martin Visser didn't print that I looked at. There's Silverlight's on there, but it shows Silverlight 5 being released in December 2011, and then the rest of the roadmap is blank, you know, saying basically, okay, that's it for Silverlight. That 5 is probably the end of the road there. What else is interesting?
I heard explicitly from someone that Silverlight is gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the end, right?
Wow.
Silverlight 5 is the end. IIS, which is Internet Information Services, they use the codename Antares, which we talked about on Windows Weekly before. So I think IIS 8 might be Antares. That's the Microsoft hosting framework that's supposed to be out pretty soon, too, if you go by this roadmap. So there's some little good tidbits in there. Nothing earth-shattering, nothing that you said, whoa, I can't believe that. The only one I was kind of surprised about was IE10 being from the map.
The thing I don't get about IE10, though, is, you know, in writing the book, you know, for Windows 8, there's a lot of Metro stuff going on in IE10. And obviously there's some background stuff, or, you know, back-end stuff, I guess you'd call it, you know, the rendering engine and standards compliance and all that kind of stuff. But when you look at IE10, the desktop application, I mean, there's basically not a single change there compared to IE9, you know? Mm-hmm. And that suggests to me that if unless something changes, that schedule is very possible, you know? Because the thing that would be released mid-year would be IE10 for Windows 7 and Vista, I guess. And they never updated that, right?
That code base they haven't updated in months, right?
Yeah, I think since
last summer, the
developer preview was of Windows 8 was kind of the next platform preview for IE, and I believe they didn't. I don't think they've ever released a desktop version since then. A standalone platform preview.
Yeah, so kind of weird, but could be. You know, it could just be what you just said, the desktop version, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's not.
I mean, clearly, and it's fine. I mean, you know, they have lots of investments to make on the back end and also in the Metro stuff. That makes sense. But, I mean, it's sort of a lackluster release for people on Windows 7, I would think, you know, or Windows Vista. I mean, there's not really much going on there.
Yeah.
That we know of.
Can
I still, I see on your blog post a link here. Can I still go there and read it myself? The roadmap?
I didn't post a link to the roadmap. I just posted the guy's tweet, link to his tweets, and I heard somebody say today that they've already shut the link off.
I was going to say, you might want to check that every day. I bet it gets turned off.
Won't last long. This was a week ago this came out, so.
Yeah.
But he did. He posted the images, which is cool.
I did. I posted the images. I asked him, and I said, you posted the images. He goes, go ahead, post them.
He put them on Flickr. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Former Microsoft partner.
Yeah,
Martin,
I was going to say, yeah. Doesn't actually mention his business anymore on his Twitter page. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like he said, it was wide open. So
you know what? Somewhere today there was a conversation in the Windows division that somewhere someone said, see? That's why we don't reveal any information.
Because you sons of... Yep. Yeah. Yo!
Can't even trust the rest of the company with it.
Yo, people. Yeah, exactly. It's not the press.
You people with your need to know.
It's our partners.
Wow. Job and whatnot.
But you know what? I'm going to defend what he did in a way, because I know there are a lot of people who just want some really basic answers, like, is Office going to be in 2013? Or is it going to be in 2012? People ask me those basic questions. Need to know, Mary Jo. That's what they say, right? They're like, everyone who needs to know that knows. Well, I can tell you from all the questions I get from pretty big customers. Not everybody who thinks they need to know knows it.
So. Right.
There you go.
So,
you know, I don't know. I know nothing. Hogan. So I was watching, apropos of absolutely nothing, somebody compiled all the, you know, in the Adam West 1966 Batman?
Yep.
Where Batman and Robin, they would climb up buildings. Of course, it was very campy. It wasn't intended. It
I love like, that. Yeah, the guy would stick his head out the window.
And then they have cameo appearances like Sammy Davis Jr. and.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest, I think most of them were used to promote other shows on the network, I guess, because the weirdest thing was Colonel Klink.
He was actually one of the guys.
And he was as Colonel Klink. I'm here looking for, I don't know, I mean, he's a Nazi. This is not funny. And he's.
Well, it's funny for that reason, though, Leo.
No, it wasn't funny. It was weird. It was like, oh, you're climbing up a building in New York City. And I think Batman says, you know, Robin always has something like, you know. Holy Auschwitz, Batman, that's Colonel Klink. And then
probably not what he said.
No, he don't think he said that. And then Batman goes, yes, Robin. And then he says, and he says, hello, citizen. What brings you to Gotham? And Klink says something like, I'm looking for Colonel Hogan. I think he has escaped again. It was just strange.
That's awesome.
Anyway, that's on YouTube.
That is awesome.
It's a montage of all of the celebrity pop-ins. And that one, not you know, Sammy Davis is fun, and there's weird ones too. Like it's all fake because you know they're standing, pretending to climb. The other thing that's very strange, and I think in 1966 people weren't sensitized to it. Batman's awfully close to Robin as they're climbing. I don't think that's necessary. I'll find the video
Adam
and show
West
you.
Adam West just got his star in the.
I saw that. He's great. You know why? Because the Simpsons have revived him.
Do I know
him.
Why? Of course I know why. He's fantastic.
It's not the Simpsons. Family Guy has revived him. He's the mayor in Family Guy. And he's just Mayor West. He's wonderful. Item number, I guess this is 3. I wanted to cheer you up. Before this one.
You just have to bring in completely unrelated information.
This has nothing to do with Microsoft, and that's why you might find this cheering. Gartner says, now Gartner's wrong a lot, Ball. Don't take this seriously. Windows 8 tablets to grab just 8% of market in 2013.
Yeah.
That's a little.
You know, I've always sort of said that Windows and Android and iOS, I guess, would split the tablet market in some capacity.
Never.
I just didn't think it would look like that. So
it's a slice. It's a split.
I get it. Yeah. We get. You know, that's the part we get. But yeah, you know, there was some small market share, maybe as much as 4 or 6% they were talking about by the end of this year, but just 8% in 2013. That's surprising.
I'm going to recontextualize it for you, Paul. That's fantastic.
Please, please explain
from
how that's
0
fantastic.
To 8%.
Oh, because it's a, yes, right, it's a 2,000% increase.
And frankly, it's hard to beat the iPad. I mean, this thing is pretty spectacular. They're going to have to demonstrate something. Look at how the Android tablets are just, you know, crashed and burned.
Well, I think, yeah, the problem for Microsoft is going to be that these Windows 8 tablets are not the same thing as an iPad. They're computers.
Right.
You know? And,
but they have tried this before. 10 years.
This is a different approach, but still fundamentally still a computer. And there are pros and cons to this approach. Absolutely, there's going to be a certain segment of the population, apparently 8%, that is very excited about that kind of thing.
8%.
But then apparently there's going to be another part of the population, 92%, that that's not what they're looking for. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, when Apple introduced the iPad, there was a lot of talk about this being a new product category. And I sort of poo-pooed it at the time. But I have to say, the iPad very clearly represents a new product category. And it is today probably, you know, stealing people away from PCs. Because I think for a lot of people, PCs are just too complex for the types of things that they want to get done with regards to, you know, online services or what we think of as general purpose computing or whatever. So, you know, we'll see. Obviously, I mean, this is just a projection, but you have to think they were shooting for a little bit higher than 8%, you know, with all the the work and foundational stuff that goes into when something like Windows 8 is obviously a huge project for Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I think I also said only 12% by 2016. I mean, you can't really predict 2016, right? But I mean, it's not like they're predicting there's going to be some boom like, hey, it takes off. They're just saying, you know, it's an iPad world and Microsoft's going to be lucky.
I mean, I think it's going to be, I personally don't believe it's going to be that small. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see.
The same research firm just put out a report that said that they expected iPad sales to double in 2012 over 2011. And that the iPad, I was just curious, well, if, okay, so it's 8% for Windows 8 tablets. What is it for the rest of the world? Android last year is about 40%. So it's taking that share from Android because they say Apple will continue to have 60% market share.
Apple's, so I don't know where the, obviously it's not the share that's doubling, it's the sales, right? So
right.
The market grows and we'll see.
I mean, got a huge
whatever share. It's worth, iPad's share of the tablet market, such as it is, has actually gone down year over year.
Yes. But surprisingly, Android has 40%. I was shocked, frankly.
Yeah, I don't ever see anyone
mostly
using
Fire.
An Android tablet.
Mostly Kindle Fire.
Yeah, it's Fires, Kindle. Right? It's all Fires.
And that's
the other thing about these Gartner numbers, too, though. They're measuring media tablets. That's what these are, right?
So this must just be Wawa-type tablets. People who like the iPad and are kind of, you know, Apple people and Apple themselves will argue that, you know, the Kindle Fire doesn't compete with the iPad. So we don't have to consider that, you know. But I would say that the delta between the Kindle Fire and the iPad versus the iPad and a Wawa tablet or the iPad and a Windows 8 tablet
is much less.
An interesting comparison.
I would agree with you. I think the Fire does compete with the iPad.
I do too.
In a way that Wawa does not. Wawa is a desktop productivity tool, is not a media tablet.
But that statement itself is very interesting because it suggests that maybe Microsoft's attempt to compete with the iPad isn't exactly dead on, right? That by making it such a capable device, by maybe letting in a little bit too much of not just the power of the PC, but also the complexity of the PC, they have, in essence, not created an iPad-type product, but have created yet another PC. Which, you know, maybe shouldn't shock.
I was going to say, do you really think Wawa tablets are productivity devices? So, like, they are going to have the four Office apps on them, but otherwise they can't run any existing apps, right? So they kind of are more like a media tablet maybe than the Intel-based ones.
Sure. But this is, you know, again, I'm not trying to promote my book. I'm just obsessed with it right now because it's all I'm doing. But one thing that strikes me again and again and again as I go through this book and as I write each chapter and each section is this kind of weird dual nature of Windows 8 where the metro environment is just not complete. It's not everything. And you can pick any bit of the OS you want to make this case, but look at something like the Photos app. You know, you can look at photos in the Photos app. You can look at photos that are online in the Photos app or on your computer. You can't edit photos. You can't share them today, although anyone could add that capability. I mean, you can print them, but you can't do advanced things with them. You know, that stuff all still has to occur in the desktop. And every single part of the system is compromised in that same way. You know, you could make the case that on the iPad, if a functionality doesn't exist, it just doesn't exist. There's no fallback. You know, at least in Windows 8, you can fall back to a desktop app. But that argument gets less and less viable over time because the iPad capabilities go up or as time goes by. So, you know, I don't think anyone is complaining today about the capabilities of the built-in iPad photo stuff. You can acquire photos off of a card or a camera using an iPad. You cannot do that in the metro environment in Windows 8. You can still do it with the desktop apps. But that's a lot of stuff for people to figure out. I mean, you know, where the line is, where the functionality stops. And I don't know. To me, that's just, you know, again, it has the pros and cons. But to me, ultimately, if you have to call it anything, I think it's complex.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So 8% is not so bad. Meanwhile, here's Colonel Klink on Batman. Just to cheer you up a little bit. Just a little bit. See, now, wait a minute.
Short bat climbs are harder than the longer ones.
I just want to say.
Hold on. I that can't possibly be. Is he really behind him, or are they on a different rule?
This is how they do it. And I've looked at all of them, and he is right behind them.
It looks like a Greco-Roman wrestling.
It's
move.
Exactly. It doesn't. There's something, and I can only think it's because it was 1966 or something. But there's definitely.
Well, you know what it is too, though. They both have to fit in the frame, And then you want that window open.
Okay,
where the guy
you're
comes.
Right. You're right. It's all maybe, about maybe. The shot. Yeah.
Takes a while to unlimber your muscles, Robin, but it's all good training. Colonel, what are you doing here in Gotham City?
I am looking for an underground agent.
One of ours or one of yours?
And why the exposition hall at the Coliseum?
Who knows? You never know where you might find one.
Be careful not to get picked up. Chief O'Hara can be very tough with aliens. Incognito.
Especially
incognito?
That's
with my monocle?
Well, say hello to Colonel Hogan for us.
It's a wonder he hasn't tried to borrow your bathrobe to pull another one of his escapes.
Okay. That is just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
That's awful.
It does not age well.
I need you to understand how much I loved this show as a child.
Oh, no, you and me both.
Upon discovering that there was, in fact, a Batman movie with these guys was like the greatest moment of my life with the bat shark repellent. Oh.
I remember the day in school that I think it was in fourth grade. It was 66. I was 10 years old. Yeah, I was in fourth grade. Yep. And so you were really young because you're a lot younger than me. And
I was in syndication or whatever.
Oh, maybe that was it. Because it was all anybody could talk about because nobody'd seen anything like this. This is 1966. Yep. This was just a bizarre, amazingly creative TV show. And that's all anybody could talk about in 1966. Yep. It was it. That was it. And it's a little strange.
No,
I know it's only 21 years after World War II when that scene takes place.
I don't looking for the logic of this.
I never understood. Hogan's Heroes was a funny
comic
show.
Most books make more sense.
Yeah, it was based on Stalag 17 with William Holden. Great movie, which I recommend.
Loosely,
because that's a serious movie. I never understood how that got on the air. But then, who knows? XP support. This is typical. It's 10 years, right, to end of life.
Well. That's typical. You know, it's funny you say that because when Windows XP came out, the average life cycle of a Windows release was like 2.5 years
at
best.
Yeah, it's gotten longer. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've gotten a few extensions.
XP support. Now, is XP is still support? Like, they're doing updates on XP? Really?
I love that you're confused by this.
I am very confused.
It is. Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. And they're going to end it. In 2 years, so the clock is ticking, kids.
Literally.
You might want to take a look at Windows Vista. It's not too late.
It is too late, though.
buy a few extra years.
Windows Vista will probably expire before Windows XP. But
well, that just shows you what a classic Windows XP was.
That's still being
used
by
nobody wants to touch this one, yeah.
So
I mean... Yeah, so Vista, first we got to talk about term, right? Mainstream and extended support, because Microsoft makes that complicated too, right? So mainstream support's when you get everything for free.
That's for us, and normal Microsoft, people, us.
Right.
Yeah.
Normal people, everyday people.
Users,
and,
everyone, yeah.
Right. When you go on to extended support, so there's 5 years of free support. Then the next 5 years are called extended support.
Is like life support in the hospital.
It is, exactly.
It's when hospice comes in and they nurse it along for a few extra years.
You're not going home
so
anymore.
You only get the security fixes for free when you're in extended support, and you have to pay if you want other kinds of updates and patches.
But they're still doing it, which is kind of interesting.
Still doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Clearly, they have wanted to end this thing a long time ago, but they just can't. They're just
end this thing. End. Please.
Well, what a weird problem to have, right? I mean, it's not because XP was of such high quality, right? I think it's important to remember that XP got an extra lease on life because of Vista, frankly. You know, the perceived issues with Vista, even here we are years later, where, you know, companies just refused to upgrade to this version of the operating system. And so they really kind of, well, not to mention, and it was delayed too many years. So, you know, they've kind of had to push XP support forward. And, you know, here we are now supporting this 10-year-old version of Windows. It's hard to imagine how long ago that was, but I guess if you were to go back to when Windows XP came out, remember that 10 years previous to that was like Windows 3.0, right? 1991.
That's dead though, right? I mean, I can't get updates for that now.
No, that one's dead, but I mean,
no, I know. But it was, that just shows you how long this thing is.
No,
going.
But it was long dead by the time XP came.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And yet here we are, you know, but that's the change. I you know, Microsoft started out as a small systems provider, really, right? individuals and very small businesses. They work group computing, and you know, they move their way up into the enterprise. But the problem is, once you get into the enterprise, and they're huge in the enterprise now, is you have to abide by their standards.
Right.
And their standards are, you support this thing for many, many years.
Which is how it should be from a business point of view, right? I mean, XP, yeah. I mean, let's be, okay, now, let's talk honestly. There's nothing wrong with XP. It's rock solid. A lot of people don't feel the pressure. If Microsoft didn't stop supporting it, I don't know who would upgrade.
I can't tell you who said this because I promised them I wouldn't say this, but I talked to some people for an XP, you know, article this week, and one of them promised, you know, made me promise I wouldn't identify them, but they said, look, there's nothing about XP that doesn't work any less well today than worked 3 years ago. It's not like some monumental shift has occurred where, you know, suddenly a lot of this stuff is kind of artificial. You know, Microsoft has done this thing where, you know, I think the latest version of IE and other products, you know, just won't run on XP. It's not that they couldn't be made to run on XP, but they're obviously they're doing what they can.
Completely artificial. And there's something to be said about XP, which is it's been patched so many times that
it's kind of a known quantity.
It's probably more solid.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. I mean, you know, after so many years, I mean, it's no longer optimized for the, you know, the type of hardware that we tend to run today. You know, it is of a different era. It's still, you know, I'm sure a Commodore 64 would run really fast today on modern PC hardware too, but you know, it's old. So,
yeah, I mean, I think time moves on, and Windows 7 is, of course, a much better OS than XP. But
actually, Windows 7 could very well be the next XP.
I think it will be. I think look at what's happening here. There are going to be a lot of businesses, and maybe even quite a few users who say, "I'm not going to Windows 8," and Windows 7.
We'll
be talking in 20 years from now. You'll be saying, "When our 7 end of life is only 8 years off."
I feel a little better about Windows 7 than I did about XP, though. I mean, you know,
much
better.
We've
talked about this a lot.
Oh, it's great. 7 is.
No, but even when XP came into the world in the most horrible state. I mean, it was a horrible mess. People forget. We kind of wax nostalgic about it.
It wasn't until Service Pack 2 that it was usable.
Are you kidding? Well, and by the way, why did Service Pack 2 have to happen? Why did Microsoft have to stop development of all their products? Why did they have to do trustworthy computing?
Right.
Well, because of XP. I mean, XP was such a steaming pile of crap, frankly, when it came out that, you know, that was their wake-up call. So we're acting like it was this beautiful thing from day one, but that's not the case.
Well, it's funny because XP2 really should have been named a different operating system.
Absolutely.
Right?
XP 2.0 or something. Yeah.
And wouldn't that have changed our perception of this dramatically, right?
I agree.
Right. Because that thing, Windows 2003 or whatever they called it, would have, that's what we'd be talking about today, right? Because the XP that's being supported in 2 years from now is not even XP Service Pack 2, it's XP Service Pack 3. And that came out 3-4 years ago. I don't even remember. So it's a much more recent thing, and it is the type of thing where I think they felt obligated to do the right thing for customers. They just called it XP and they kept moving it forward.
But
it really would have been some other thing. They would have, you know, might have called it something.
It was a whole new operating system, really, in many ways. Yep. So when you say XP support ends in 2 years, you're talking extended support,
right? Yes. All of it.
Mainstream support's already dead.
Yep.
Okay. Vista mainstream support is also dead.
I believe it ended just this week, right?
Yeah.
This week. Yep. As of this week. Yep.
So that's it on that. And you know, I don't see a lot of people saying I'm not moving from Vista. I don't see a groundswell.
I'm gonna turn into that guy. I think I'm just gonna run Vista. That's gonna be my thing.
You're gonna do that petition on the web.
I want my windows to be translucent, but I want my taskbar to be opaque.
There is, you know, there's the Zune guy, the guy who got the Zune tattoo, which I think he's had removed now, by the way.
Yeah.
You could be the Vista guy.
Yeah, I'll be the Vista guy.
Yeah. Oh, that Paul Thurrott, remember him? He's the Vista guy.
I was on vacation when they announced the name Vista. I was up in Vermont, and I got a call from Microsoft, and they said, or from Wagner, I guess, and Wagner is from PR company, and they said, "Hey, you know, they really want to talk to you." Blah blah blah. And I'm on vacation. It's just important, you know. And yeah, it's really important. I said, okay, so I remember I was up on the balcony of this kind of Swiss chalet looking thing in Vermont, looking down at my family at the pool. I got the call. I won't say who it was, but a good friend of mine from Microsoft, and he says, "Yeah, we decided on the branding for this Longhorn thing," and it was like, "Okay, what's the name?" And he's like, "Windows Vista." And I'm like, "I'm going to hang up on you now." Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's the name? Seriously? Vista. Is this kind of a joke? And remember they had all that, like, terminology around it. It was clear and connected.
Oh,
and,
God, yeah.
You remember that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sitting there with my stupid cell phone listening to this, and I'm like, oh, God, guys, seriously. Like, they said the name is aspirational.
It was. They were really hoping. They were praying. Do you think, now, with mainstream support ending, I don't think that's common knowledge among, there is a large contingent, I don't know what it is, 10, 20, 50 million people who use Vista because that's what came with their computer when they bought it 8 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well,
and
I don't
they
think
don't
really
pay attention. They don't know.
But it won't impact them.
Security
right?
updates will still come out.
Yeah. They're still going to get security updates.
That's
By the way, Microsoft hasn't released an update for Windows Vista in like, I don't know, when was it released?
Oh, that's interesting.
Ago? You know, I mean, the rest, you know, the Service Pack whatever is out and has
that's
never...
It. Right.
They never even released Service Pack 2 for 7. Microsoft walks away from this stuff now as quickly as they can. Yeah. They don't even, you know, so...
I didn't do that. That's not what me. Happened? That was my dog. No, I'm just saying, that's what they... they keep walking.
Did someone actually question who was the author of this?
Don't look back. Just keep walking. Eyes ahead. There's a churro store right up ahead.
That was
a low blow. I admit it. That was a low blow. We're going to talk about on live desktop. That's an interesting battle, and I think we might have a resolution. And I have to ask you guys two things. One is that these AOL patents, which Microsoft just got, and I got to ask you about the Instagram because every show we're commenting on it because it's just such a fascinating story. So Mary Jo Foley is here from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul Thurrott from the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. And we have more with Windows Weekly coming up, including our tips, our picks. But before we do that, let's talk about Go to My PC. This is remote access. Whoops, that's not it. There it is. This is remote access done right. I know Windows comes built in with remote access. I understand that. But I think there's a lot of people who choose Go to My PC for a number of reasons over the program you got. For one thing, it's from Citrix, who designed RDP. So, I mean, it's not like these guys are kind of like, oh, we're going to see what we can do. These are the guys who wrote it. And it's very easy to use. You don't have to open ports on your, it's so secure. No port opening or anything because they use NAT traversal, which means there's your computer that you want to access, and then you log in not to your computer directly. That would require opening ports, but to the Go to My PC server, which then logs you in. And by doing so, this kind of triangular login, they've got the NAT traversal. It's more secure. You've got SSL through the whole transaction, so you could use it as a VPN. You could be at a open a Wi-Fi access spot at your local coffee shop, fire up Go to My PC, and then you're secure going right to your office computer. Mac or PC, that's the other reason people use it. It's completely cross-platform. But here's something that is super cool. You can use Go to My PC with your iPad and your iPhone. They have free apps for the iPad and the iPhone, which means that you can access your office computer, do anything you would do at work on your iPad or your iPhone, or even your Android tablet, for those of you who have one. That's pretty spectacular. That's pretty amazing. Here's a way to find out what it'll do for you. Just log on to gotomypc.com. Actually, just go there. Click the orange Try It Free button and use our offer code Windows. Even if you're setting... I know it's confusing if you wanted to set this up on a Mac, but you can. It's the same because it's Windows Weekly. Get it? So Windows... you got a 30-day free trial. The apps are free, so you can download it on your iPhone or your iPad or your Android tablet. And then the amazing thing is you'll be accessing your office computer remotely, minutes later from anywhere you go. Send and receive email, run any program, access any network resource, do anything you would do at your office computer, even on a smartphone. Now, that is wild. I want you to try it right now. Visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, use the offer code Windows, 30 days free, no obligation, no cost to you, and the apps are absolutely free too. Gotomypc.com, offer code Windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. So OnLive, we saw the demo. OnLive is kind of an interesting story. It was originally designed to be a gaming platform, so they would do all the rendering server side, which meant you could have an inexpensive device, a set-top box, or even an old computer at home and play games online because all of the hard work, all of the graphics stuff is done remotely. And that seemed like their business for the first couple of years. Then all of a sudden at CES in January, it's like they blow us away. They've got an app, an iPad app that lets you run Windows remotely. Same idea. So all the work is being done server side. And they gave you a license not only to Windows but to Microsoft Office. They gave you storage. They have a paid version, a free version. And I asked Brian Jacquette, who was showing us at CES, this exact question. How the hell are you getting away with that? And I said, are those licensed? He said, yeah, they're licensed. We have a certain number of seat licenses. And, you know, if too many people log in, then we can't let you in. But we have lots of them. Microsoft's response was...
That's a little more complicated than that.
Okay. Did I simplify this too much? But Microsoft's response was, that's not how it works.
It's not surprising to me that someone couldn't figure out Microsoft licensing.
Yeah, because it's not... You can't just buy a number of seats and then assign it randomly. It's per machine, right?
Well, actually, you can do that, but only on Windows Server.
Ah. Yeah. That was the problem then.
Yeah, I think... I'm sure from Microsoft's perspective, they looked at the cost of licensing Windows Server... CALS versus, you know, Windows 7, and they can make more money on the server side.
Right.
So
basically, they said, Microsoft said, no, this isn't legal.
Right.
But have they solved this now?
I wonder if they've solved it.
They're trying, obviously.
I know. When I said to Microsoft, so it's all set now, right? They're in compliance. They're like, yeah, we'll see.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think...
Go
ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, the other group that really pushed Microsoft to take action here was the reseller channel, because a bunch of those guys who are providing desktop as a service legally, you know, through Microsoft's licensing mechanism, they were like, wait, why can these guys get away with this and we can't? Like, it's unfair. It's not a level playing field. So they really pushed Microsoft to come down on OnLive as well.
So what I understand, now correct me if I'm wrong, what I understand OnLive did is instead of when you launch it, you're not getting Windows anymore, you're getting Windows Server 2008.
Yep.
So it's now in compliance.
It's the same
thing. It looks, I mean, you wouldn't know the difference, but
right.
But now they're in compliance because they bought licenses to server.
Probably. I think the reason Microsoft isn't ready to say, yes, they're in compliance is that Microsoft hasn't yet.
They have to audit it.
Audited this to make sure that they have the correct number of licenses for the correct, you know, for the number of people who are concurrently accessing the service.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but OnLive's answer to me when I asked them, so do you think you're now in compliance? Their answer was very weird too. They were like, you know, nobody would have even noticed this except for a few of our more technical users.
Right.
They noticed and changed the back.
Wow.
It's like, oh,
like,
guys,
it's like
wow.
Apple saying, you know, no one would have noticed our collusion with the publishing companies if people just wouldn't buy ebooks.
But Google said no one would have noticed we were hacking Safari on the iPhone. You know, you'd have to be a real expert.
That's classic. I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those damn
companies.
Damn you. It was kind of like that. Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So, there's kind of a backstory, because the guy who started OnLive is Steve Perlman,
right,
who was a division president at Microsoft.
Radio, right?
He left. He started WebTV, sold WebTV to Microsoft for a lot of money, retired. Then said, nah, I'm bored. He started Moxie. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but he's on OnLive. He's a serial entrepreneur, brilliant guy, and has close ties to Microsoft, at least used to have close ties to Microsoft. So I don't know. You know, when we asked...
Probably bought a bunch of Windows 7 CALs at the Microsoft store and thought that was going to do it.
Hey, we bought it.
It's like Microsoft employee badge to get in there.
I asked them, when I asked them, because I don't know anything about Microsoft Windows licensing. But it looked odd to me that you could use this. And I said, well, this is licensed? He said, yeah. And according to...
By the way, I believe that they thought that.
Yeah.
I mean that without any humor at all. I mean, I really do think they thought they were correctly licensed.
Well, it's a little arcane, the whole thing.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Steve Perlman
said... I don't know. It was weird, though. We kept asking them, how are you guys doing this? Is this legal?
Right.
And they kept saying, we aren't talking about how we're licensing it. So it
so
makes
maybe,
me kind of go,
they
kind of knew.
Yeah. He said, he told Brian Madden that we have a lot of licensing experts in the company. It's fine.
We know that you are a licensing expert, but we have other licensing experts.
Yeah, we know.
And our experts tell us that
we know
fine.
What's going on.
Anyway. I guess the theory is if you buy enough of something from Microsoft, they'll stop looking. You know, like that's just, yeah. Well, they did buy, they bought something. They must be doing something right. You know,
and there are, as you said, it's the resellers that, who are up in arms.
They couldn't do the same thing. Because
they couldn't
do it.
One of them says, he told the Register, his guy name is Guy's Boole of VDI consultancy 2Cloud. He says, we're not completely convinced. We think they may have skinned Windows 7 to make it look like Server 2008.
Oh, dear God, stop.
Oh, that's, no. That's wow.
That's awesome.
That seems going a little far. I can't. I'm not sure I buy that. Finally, let's talk about Microsoft buying AOL patents. You guys are more expert on this, and so I'm glad I can ask you about it. They bought almost $1 billion worth of patents from AOL.
If there's anything harder to understand than Microsoft licensing, it may in fact be software patents.
You know, it's kind of a weird footnote is they also bought a small division of AOL, unnamed. It's Netscape.
Which is Netscape, yeah.
They bought Netscape.
You know, do you think they'll have a ceremonial destruction of this in Microsoft? Like, we've been waiting 3 decades for it, or 2 decades.
I can only imagine Mark Andreessen when he heard this, because I remember...
What was that thing about a buggy device driver, you prick? You know?
Exactly.
You know?
I remember in 1996 when IE3 came out, I did an editorial on MSNBC saying, it's over for Netscape. Microsoft has a great browser, finally. Sell your Netscape stock. And I remember Mark Andreessen, I was told later, came screaming down the hall and said, who is this ass? Why is he saying this about it? And I was right, because their stock tanked and Microsoft won. Sure. And now Microsoft owns Netscape.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Remember that Windows? Remember that funeral procession with Windows 7 people burying the iPhone? Maybe yeah. They're going to do that with the Netscape coffin now.
Now, here's my question to you guys. First of all, many of these patents are about to expire. They're kind of, it's kind of a funky portfolio. Yeah, is it worth that much money? And why did Microsoft buy it? And here's my conspiracy theory. Microsoft, which is a small but significant stakeholder in Facebook, and I have to assume as an ally of Facebook, might have bought these really on behalf of Facebook in their fight against Yahoo. Mm.
That's interesting. Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, wow. I didn't even thought of that angle of it, but.
Well, I know
how you're thinking, though. This has got a nice John LeCarre feel
yeah,
to it.
It does.
I know. It does.
Tinker's Tailor Soldier Browser, yeah.
The mysterious bit of this to me is that these patents were literally just valued at one-third of what Microsoft paid for them. So
there's something
clearly
going on.
I don't know if they just wanted to get them out of circulation or make sure they didn't fall into anyone else's hands, the other party being one of those companies like Motorola Mobility that...
Right.
Maybe was AKA doing the wrong Google. Thing with patents yeah. and so forth. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's all it was.
Yeah.
AOL was shopping these around too, and there was speculation Microsoft and Google were going to go head to head and bid on it. But
right.
I think it was Jay Green at news.com who asked around, and he heard Google never even bid on them in the end.
Yeah.
It could have been Microsoft.
It was literally an auction, right? They had an auction.
Yeah, I think it was.
So maybe it's one of you go to an auction and you overbid for something, and then you're like, wait, how much did I pay for this?
Microsoft was drunk. Yeah. They had the paddle.
They didn't realize they were like bidding against themselves.
I want it! Right. Yeah, they had a guy across the room. They had Ballmer on one side and Steven Sinofsky on their side. Little tipsy. They kept raising the paddle. There's two reasons you buy patents these days. One of them not being to make something.
None of those reasons are not evil.
Go. So one is offensive, one is defensive. It has to do with lawsuits, obviously. Is this an offensive or a defensive purchase?
I think
it's like mutually assured destruction,
which makes it defensive. Yeah.
Right. We have them, so now
stay away.
Nobody's going to be able to go at us with them.
And I think Facebook can use these now. I think this makes it. Facebook is really taking this Yahoo lawsuit seriously. They countersued. They're being very aggressive. This is a big deal for them. They're incensed by it. And I can see them saying, hey,
well,
Microsoft,
the indignity of the timing, right? I mean, Yahoo did this specifically in the build up to their IPO so that they could. I think the assumption was Facebook would just pay to make this go away.
And Facebook said, no, baby, we're going to court. And I can see them enlisting Microsoft. Microsoft has, 7-8% of Facebook?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's interesting that you draw such a close parallel between those two companies.
Well, I know. They're frenemies.
Yeah.
But they're more friends than enemies these days, aren't they?
No, absolutely. No, they are friends, but that's not really what I mean. I think of Facebook as being far more independent than that. I'd be surprised if they were in that close in cahoots.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
When I first heard about it, I thought, okay, this is something they're going to use to go after more of the Android vendors and try to get ransom from them.
Don't they have them all?
Okay, now we have these. They don't have them all. They have the majority of them, right. But they still don't have Barnes and Noble, right? And they don't have Motorola, obviously. Okay. So the other
billion-dollar acquisition, and there's not much to say, but I just, you know, I can't leave it out because it's the story of the year, probably, somebody tweeted me, wait a minute, Facebook paid $1 billion for Instagram? Don't they know they can get it free on the App Store?
Oh, my God, I can't tell me about it. And you know, no offense to Instagram, I mean, neat idea and everything 2 years ago, but, let me get this straight, so... You apply filters to photos that you took on your phone, and then you share them over other people's social networks.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's strong.
That wouldn't be hard to copy. I wonder if anyone has. Oh, look, there are 100 Instagram-type apps in the app.
That's right.
Like, it just doesn't... this purchase makes zero sense. Did he get drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning and call him up and offer him $1 million and then... Well, didn't remember it the next day, but had to go through with it. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a punchline to a riddle. Why did Mark Zuckerberg buy Instagram? Because he could.
Yeah.
He's got the money.
It's bizarre. It reminds me of Microsoft's purchase of Skype.
Right.
Except that Microsoft actually got something out of that.
You know what? I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Mark Cuban and AOL. It reminds me of AOL spending almost $1 billion, wasn't it?
Mark Cuban and Lamar Odom is an even better example.
For broadcast.
You got just as much out of Lamar Odom that they're going to get out of Instagram.
Lamar costs more, probably.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
There's another weird Facebook connection here, though, too, right? Because Microsoft and Facebook. So, you know, Instagram is not available on Windows Phone.
Right.
And it's one of the apps Microsoft's really lamenting has never come to Windows Phone. Yes. So who knows? Maybe there's a little nice upside for Microsoft here.
There has been talk about that. You know, that Microsoft's close relationship.
I'll make you a deal. If you buy those AOL patents, I'll buy Instagram and we'll trade.
Leo, they are exactly the same amount of money. Coincidence?
I think not.
Okay.
Next week, the news just in. Instagram has been traded to Microsoft for 1,000 patents and a player to be named later.
Yes, and a draft pick. We don't even know what that means.
We don't know. What is it?
Some graduate of the class of 2015.
That's right. He's a computer science student, a freshman at Carnegie Mellon. We think he's the next Bill Gates.
He signed on with Google, but sorry, we traded away that draft pick.
I have to tell Paul this, though, because it's a little Massachusetts angle, too. My mom emailed me this today. One of the founders of Instagram is from Holliston.
Oh, man.
My mom's like, check the local paper.
Local boy
like, wow,
makes
my mom's
good.
Kevin's
sister.
Do you know him?
Kevin's,
there are only 1,100 people in
Holliston is a small town.
I know most of them.
Kevin Systrom, who's the founder, got $400 million in cash and stock. $400 million for 15 months' work. But, you know, with all due, I mean, I got to give him some credit. This is a beautifully designed app. It works perfectly. Its functionality is exactly what you want. It's got 30 million users, and with Android, it might be twice that soon.
Yep. Tens of millions, certainly.
Legitimately, though, I mean, to be honest, almost all of those 30 million are already Facebook users who probably use Instagram to post to Facebook.
I know, it's nuts. And by the way,
it's
the
not
ones
new
that
users, right?
The ones that weren't are quitting Instagram.
They hate
Facebook.
Exactly.
You know, it's nuts. It would be like Microsoft buying Apple 10 years ago and being confused. Why are they going elsewhere? I thought they would have embraced us. You know, it's the whole thing is nuts. It makes no sense at all. I have yet to read anything that makes this make sense.
There's been a lot of ink spilled trying to make sense of this, actually. Every pundit has come up with a theory, most of them cockamamie. We're going to take a break, come back. We've got your tip of the week, Paul, which if you're getting in Lomia 900, you're going to want to listen to. Your software pick of the week. We have an enterprise pick of the week. And our code name pick of the week is more than just some festival in Utah, my friends. Mary Jo wrote that. I didn't write that.
But
you didn't write it like that.
Well, I know. I added my own je ne sais quoi. Let's talk a little bit about Hover.com, and then we shall continue on with the program and our fine hosts. Look, I think there's nobody who is techie who hasn't from time to time registered a domain saying, this is going to be the next big thing, or I'm going to start a business. And, you know, how many domains do many of us have? Hundreds of domains that, you know, I get emails now almost every day saying your domain is expiring. And I'm saying, I bought fancypants.com. Why? Wouldn't it be nice if there were a domain name registrar that would refund you the money you've spent on your clunker domain? There is one. Wouldn't it be nice if there were a domain name registrar that didn't make you click 100 times before you could check out, trying to sell you everything from life insurance to a condo in Maui? Wouldn't that be nice? There is. Wouldn't it be nice to find a domain name registrar that's clean, simple, and effective, and won't put you on hold when you call for tech support? It's hover.com. I want you to go to windows.hover.com and take a look at what is absolutely the best domain registrar out there for a couple of reasons. I'll give you a few. If you're going to transfer a domain, by the way, they charge you $10. This isn't going to last forever, so do it now if you're transferring a domain. But you get for your $10 another year, no matter what domain. You're getting another year. So now you're a Hover customer. You get all the benefits of their great management system, the great support, and you get an extra year for $10. And I don't, this isn't in the ad, but I know that they will do this for you if you tell them Leo told you about this. Call the number at hover.com. Go to windows.hover.com. There's a number up there. And say, I want the domain concierge service, and I don't want to pay for it. And they will waive the $25 fee. They will move you. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I know from bitter experience. Let them move you. It's so much easier that it just happens. They say, great, give me the names of your domain. Your registrar will handle this, and they move it all over for you. Really is nice. That's a luxury service. And they're going to waive the fee if you mentioned that I told them you would. I think that still works. They also have a no-hold policy, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern during their regular service hours. Once you get that live person, they won't put you on hold. And I hear nothing but praise for their great customer service reps. Finally, let's talk about this clunker domain and this premium domain, which is really, really cool. So fancypants.com. Say you go there and you want to register fancypants.com. I typed .com. I probably shouldn't. Oh no, they did it. So it turns out that here, you know, it's taken. But if it's for sale or a similar name is for sale through Hover, they'll put a little star next to it. That's a premium domain name. The price is set by the seller before you inquire, which means you're not going to get, you know, inflationary prices. Ms. Fancy Pants, just $350. How about that? Fancy Pants, man, that's a little more expensive. He wants $14,000 for it. So this is nice because you can sell your fancybabes.com just $500. Yeah, yeah. So look for the stars. Those are domains that are all owned but available for sale at a pre-negotiated price. And, of course, the clunker domain trade-in means you could get a credit for everything you spend on your clunker with Hover, the original registration fees, any renewal fees. Trade in that old domain. Buy a custom fancy domain. And if you're getting a domain that is not a premium domain, you get 10% off on that new domain if you use the offer code Windows. So there's one more reason to use Hover.com. Windows.hover.com, domain name, registration, and management. Made simple. I'm a big, big, big fan. All right. Let's get our tip of the week, starting with Mr. Polytherat there.
You know, back in the Windows Mobile days, go figure, we actually had this great service called MyPhone that would back up all of the stuff on your phone, and then you could restore it. It was great. It worked really well. Obviously, on the Apple side, they have iCloud, which does a lot of the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, it'll take a year, but it does restore over the year.
But it does, yeah. Yep. It's nice. Yep. It's nice to have.
Yeah. It is great.
Yeah, Windows Phone has nothing like this, nothing. And so one of the tragic things as you move from one Windows Phone to another or just move to Windows Phone is that carrying stuff over, aside from a few small things, you know, if you have like an older phone that where you would store your contacts on the SIM card...
How many? You know, do people still do that?
No, but if you have such a phone, you can carry those in.
A few, anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So I sort of looked at this. I didn't go through the entire list of things that were possible, but I did go through a list of things that I go through when I go through a new phone. So, for example, I organize my start screen in a certain way. I install certain apps. I always get rid of certain apps. You know, in the same way that you buy a new PC and there's crapper on there, you delete a bunch of that stuff before you move on. And I do the same thing on Windows Phone. Unfortunately, there's a bunch of AT&T apps that I uninstall right away that I
can't. And you can, huh? You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, but one of the neat things about Windows Phone when you buy it is that, and they did this for me in the store, which I was really kind of surprised by, you input your account. You know, if you do have that Windows Live ID, all this stuff comes up into the phone automatically. I had previously associated my Twitter account, so I didn't have to log into Twitter. That was already done for me automatically. All my contacts, my calendar items, my email, my Xbox Live gamer tag, my Zune stuff, all that stuff came in automatically. So that's really neat. But there's a bunch of stuff you have to do beyond that that's really mostly a manual process. You know, reinstalling apps. Microsoft has a website you can visit where you can see all the apps you've ever downloaded or purchased, and you can send them to the new phone. So that works pretty well. But a bunch of the stuff that you have to do, you know, unfortunately, you kind of have to do by yourself. So I have an article that highlights all this stuff up on the website. But the important bit to understand, I think, unfortunately, is that some stuff is just never going to come through, at least not for now. And hopefully sometime in the future, this will be solved either by improvements in the platform, say in Windows Phone 8, or perhaps by third parties. So, for example, I'm not aware of any method that works reliably where you can bring text messages from one phone to the other. Your history list in the phone, you know, for example, for phone calls or people you've interacted with, that stuff doesn't come through. The most tragic bit of it, unfortunately, is probably app settings, or like if you think about a game where you might have gotten to a certain level in a game, or you have a certain high score or whatever it is, unless that specific app maker kind of tied that stuff into an online service on their own.
Like Evernote or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, there's no way to carry that over. So, you know, I know Rafael Rivera, for example, is working on a backup app of his own. And it, like so many good software programs, it was designed to solve a problem that he was having,
right,
which was that he had Plants vs. Zombies on one machine and he really wanted to bring over.
Yeah, you don't want to start that game over. And yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's unfortunate where the platform is right now that a lot of this stuff is just not possible, unfortunately. So, anyway, I have a write-up about all that. So it's just something to know about, you know, if you're going to be moving to Windows Phone, or in this case, moving to a new Windows Phone, such as with the Lumia 900.
Yeah, that's nice, I have to say. And I do, it would be nice to have some way of, because a phone, even more than a PC, I mean, certainly a PC, you customize the heck out of it. But a phone is so personal that you really want it to look
especially with a phone.
Yeah.
There's some hope in Windows Phone 8 that some of this will be solved, because, you know, if you looked at Windows 8, you know that Microsoft does a really good job of PC to PC settings sync through your Windows Live account. And in fact, it works even better than you would think. There's weird stuff. I increased the size of the mouse cursor, you know, the little arrow, on one machine because it was a very high-res machine on a slightly smaller display. And then I was surprised when I moved over to my desktop PC that that's one of the things that gets synced across. So it's not just the Metro settings. If you do something like move the taskbar to the side of the screen from the bottom, that gets synced across machines too. So once you see that kind of capability occurring on the desktop, and you know that Windows Phone 8 is going to be based on Windows 8, there's some hope, although I don't know this for a fact, that some of that type of stuff will start being synced across on the phone as well.
So tell me about Rafael's program. Is he going to make that? Is he going to offer that?
We'll see. You know, it's...
And they'll back up everything?
We'll see. I can't really say. I mean, there's some underlying platform issues that have to be overcome for this stuff to work. But
they're saying in the chat room that there is isolated storage right for Windows Phone 7 that you could just copy.
Well, yeah. So the problem with there's a lot of problems. You would need native code access.
Right.
You would need the ability.
Right. They may not allow that. Yeah.
Microsoft may literally just not allow it. There's a sandboxing thing that occurs in Windows 8, where you can't from the device itself get into another app natively. So using the default APIs and so forth. So, like I said, there's a lot to overcome, and you know, we'll see. But And there's some hope that some of this stuff will occur natively in the platform itself, either in Windows Phone 8 or in some future release or whatever.
Okay, that was our tip. Now our software of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me that with all of the weird arguments against Windows Phone lately with the Lumia, a lot of people looking for kind of the downside of this stuff. One of the arguments that I just don't agree with is this lack of apps, you know. And aside from the sheer number of apps, I mean, 80,000 apps, which I know does not meet the 500,000 mark or whatever it is that the iPhone is at. When I think of apps and the types of things I do on a phone personally, I mean, everything that I need is on Windows Phone. But and
there's just a few things. There's a few, like Instagram. It depends if you've created an attachment.
Instagram is a great example. So there is no official Instagram app for Windows Phone, but there are several Instagram alikes, you know.
If you want to be in that community, that's not the same.
Okay, but if what you really want is that capability and you want to share on Facebook, you can do that.
Well, I like this because you've got a blog here, and one of the things. Okay, so you can't get cut the rope, but you can get burn the rope.
Okay, not actually sure if those are the same.
They're not.
But yes,
but it's similar. Similar. So it's one of those things where it's like you can't get the one you want.
Well, no, but you can. No, but oftentimes you can.
Most of the time, you can.
For example, when I think of like tier one type apps, you know, like Amazon Kindle's on there.
You got Audible, Kindle. You got coming. Evernote. You're getting Audible.
Facebook, Twitter, Evernote.
Those things. You know,
obviously the office. ESPN's on there. Netflix is on there.
I think it comes down to if there is a particular program.
Yeah.
But you can't make a blanket statement. But you know, believe me, we lived in this world for years as Mac users.
Right. And actually, this is what I find interesting about this, because the types of people who would be touting the iPhone's app advantage today are the types of people who just 2 or 3 years ago would have been saying, AppCop doesn't mean anything. It's quality.
Have plenty of great apps. It's what you've got, not how.
And talk about alternatives.
Right.
You know, like we don't have this, but we have this thing that was made by a guy in New Hampshire. It works great.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, okay, so now I'm on the other side of the fence. And but I actually use Windows Phone and prefer it. And I have to say, I've never really run into any huge instance. I mean, Audible maybe would be the best example of one kind of a blocker for certain people, although I actually doubt that that is going to amount in any huge amount of people moving to Windows Phone once that appears. I mean, I think it's an interesting argument from people. Like, I would have gone to Windows Phone by now if Audible was on there. And it's like, that's nice, but I don't really think that's a huge blocker. But I got, like, the New York Times is on here. USA Today is on here.
Right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera.
The key big apps are, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. And I would like that not to be part of the conversation, because I think in the world of valid and invalid arguments about Windows Phone, the apps are not really, for the most part, that valid of an argument. In the same way that it not having a dual-core processor is not a valid argument, because this OS doesn't require one.
Boy, it is snappy. The Lumia 900 is so snappy, you absolutely don't feel in any way that it's slow.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
It's really nice.
The other thing that's neat about the Lumia, not that this is on topic with my software pick of the week theme, but is that, you know, when I got the Galaxy Nexus phone, you know, one of the things you notice with that phone is if you leave LTE on in that thing, the battery goes away in front of you as you're using it. It's like driving a 70s station wagon up a hill and watching the gas go down.
Yeah.
This thing, I mean, aside from when you're tethering, when, of course, you know, the data suckage occurs at an alarming rate, I mean, you leave your LTE on in this thing, and it's fine. It goes all day. I'm amazed by that, you know.
Yeah.
So
you have a link to the Windows steamblog.com. This is a gaming blog for Windows Phone.
What do I have?
I'm just looking at your notes. I'm sorry. I thought your favorite.
Did I do the wrong?
Here are the apps I use every day. Plus, get key Windows Phone games for just 99¢.
So I have a
Did
link
you not
to
write
the,
that?
I have a link to the Windows Phone blog.
It came out something different for me. Oh, yeah, it says Windows Phone blog, but the link is WindowsSteamBlog.com. That's weird.
I don't know what that means, but certainly.
Oh, Windows Team.
It's the Windows Team.
Now I get it. It's Windows Team.
I'm so confused. Did I send you to a porn site, Leo?
Windows Steam. Windows Steam blog or Windows Team blog.
I mean, if you do have Windows Phone and you haven't bought any of these games, they're 99¢ right now, so that's kind of an incredible deal.
That is a great deal. Angry Birds. Yeah. Burn the Rope. Doodle God is fun. I like that. Ion Ball X. Max and the Magic Marker. Toy Soldiers. So there's a bunch of them. I think it's funny that they call Burn the Rope mega hits. It's not the same. It's like saying, it's like saying a Cranky Birds. Hey, they've got Cranky Birds.
Cranky Birds, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
No, that's not quite the same as Cut the Rope. But that's, it's the same game, frankly.
Sure.
So go for it.
I don't spend a lot of time playing games on phones personally, but honestly, if game playing was your forte, I don't feel that Windows Phone is a particularly bad platform either.
No, if you're an Xbox player, if you're an Xbox Live awesome. User, you're set.
Yep.
Enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley?
Yes. First, could I do one breaking news item?
It's in. It's hot. It's flash.
It is. Verizon has started rolling out the update,
woo-hoo!
The disappearing keyboard update for the trophies.
They were listening.
Oh. WP Central's on this, and they say if you hook your phone up to the Zoom client, you'll get OS 7740, the 8107 fix for disappearing keyboard, and some firmware.
Yay.
So finally, it's out. Yay.
But not for all phones, just for the...
Now after just one more Verizon year, maybe users. They'll release a new phone.
Right. But Verizon's doing it for their users.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was just a quick aside since we've done so much Windows Phone stuff.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yep. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, Enterprise Pick of the Week. So next week in Las Vegas, all the people who are in the know about Microsoft System Center will be converging to talk at Microsoft Management Summit 2012. So my Pick of the Week is System Center 2012. And most people who know what MMS is, know what System Center is, but it's a collection of 8 different apps that Microsoft's now bundling in only 2 SKUs. So before you used to buy all these apps separately and license them separately. And now you're going to have a choice of a standard edition of System Center 2012 or a data center edition. And these have actually already RTM, though Microsoft wanted to try to save that news for next week and not announce that they were available, but people already have been downloading them and installing them. So that's going to be the big news next week is System Center 2012 is out and here's what you can do with it and here's why it's cool. And what Microsoft's going to do to add an element of levity to this is they're resurrecting this polyester spokes guy named Tad, which many people hate, but some people love. And I gave Leo a link there if you want to look
at the Tad.
Tad
I don't
talks.
Know why he has the Atari logo behind him. But
I was just going to say exactly the same.
Because he's a throwback. He's supposed to be VMware.
All right, should I play a little bit? Can we hear what he?
Yeah, you can.
We can unleash the full scope of human potential. Thank you.
So these are like a play on TED Talks, only it's
right.
He's sales numero uno at VM Limited.
You're going to do great.
He's purple belt numero uno in his community dojo. He's rad. He's bad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, they spent some money on this one. Oh,
progress. It may not be quite as groovy as you all think it is. Boom. The hidden bummers of going
he's got
too
a,
far
he's
beyond
got a opaque
virtualization.
Overhead projector.
My talks are 30% brain tinglers, mucho negative vibos, 30% spectacle, costume change, 10% cloud, and 30% positive vibes. And that makes it 110% VM Limited, baby.
So are they mocking VMware? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah. They are.
They're saying it's a throwback.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because at Microsoft Management Summit, Hyper-V and virtualization, those are all big topics. So, who's their key competitor in the space? VMware.
Right.
So they're taking some pot shots there.
They do have TAD wallpapers. You might want to check that out.
I bet there's going to be Tad bobblehead dolls and everything else.
Oh,
Tad's destined to get some play next week.
I wonder what my staff would say if we just put this on our wallpaper on all of our computers.
I guarantee you this guy comes out on stage next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I think in person this would be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's
and
it.
You got to make this stuff fun.
My persona
it's System
on this
Center.
Guy.
Now, he looks just like Bill Gates did, so I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm just saying. But that was the
70s. Actually, who was the guy who played George W. Bush and W? What was it? Brolin? Josh Brolin?
Josh Brolin. He does look like Josh Brolin.
He looks like him, doesn't he?
Yeah, you're right. It's the Brolin. He's got the Brolin.
The Brolin handlebar mustache.
Mustache, yeah. okay, are you going to that, Mary Jo?
No, I am going to watch that from home because I love Las Vegas so much. Ugh.
You know, it's funny because we're going to be in Las Vegas next week for the
NAB
show, the big National Association of Broadcasters, Monday through Thursday. So I guess we're going to run into Tad. If I can get Tad, you know, we're looking for somebody, some big name, somebody, a big thinker, a big talker for our triangulation show, which is our kind of premier interview show. If I can get Tad for that. I'll
ask them if you want. You want me to ask Microsoft? Yeah, yeah. That would be hilarious, actually.
If Tad came by, I think most of our audience would be completely nonplussed, but some of them would get it. It'd be fun.
Tad should come by.
Tad should come by in his leisure suit, the whole thing. I love the costume change. It goes from one vest to another vest. Your code name pick of the week, and we ain't talking skiing here, Mary Jo.
No, we're not. Even though it's Park City, we're not talking skiing. So first I'll tell you why it's Park City, which is kind of weird and kind of interesting. So Microsoft has a big division in Utah, in Lehi, Utah. And that's where they do what they call the MDOP, Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack. It's a collection of utilities and tools for business users to make their life easier with Windows. And so a big part of that team works in Lehi, Utah. So they're adding a new component to this pack. And so they codenamed it Park City. Probably not a coincidence. The real name of it is User Experience Virtualization. So Park City is way more fun than UEV. So UEV is coming to MDOP, if you really want all your acronyms in one sentence. and I'll tell you what UEV is. I have to read this because it's somewhat complicated. UEV is a user state virtualization product that allows individuals to change devices without reconfiguring applications or settings in Windows 7 or in Windows 8.
Just what you're talking about. If they made that for Windows Phone, we'd be set.
I know, right? Yeah. So this is for Windows 7 or Windows 8. It's out in beta now. We don't know when it's going to be out in final form, but that's what Park City is. And
that's cool.
You can go download it now.
I mean, I think that someday all computers will just do that. You'll log in to whatever hardware you're on, and you will have your environment.
Yeah. No, the consumer version is what they're doing in Windows 8.
Right.
You know, it's the sync it through Windows Live.
Right.
Right. This is the thing Mary Jo's talking about is the enterprise version.
Right.
This is so if you're a software assurance user, you know, somebody who licenses through volume contracts and has software assurance, you'll get this as part of your software assurance subscription. If you don't, then you're probably not going to be able to get it.
If you're a software assurance subscriber, you probably religiously read all about Microsoft.com. It's that kind of a blog. Mary Jo Foley is responsible. It's her fault. All about Microsoft.com. It's the place to go to keep up on to fulfill your Microsoft needs, all of the things we talk about on the show, and a good deal more. Right there. It is really a great tip sheet for people who are interested in following this, especially enterprise, but any form of Microsoft, except when it comes to Xbox. And for that, we go to Paul Thurrott's.
This is the reason I exist.
Xbox and Windows Phone. I don't think Mary Jo, she does some Windows. She's got some Windows Phone stuff.
No, she does, sure, she does Windows.
I do.
I think she kind of leaves the Xbox to the experts, though.
I do.
Yep. Paul Thurrott's blog is the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. Between the two of them, there will not be a bit of Microsoft news you are not up on. And of course, if you listen to the show, you'll know even more, and you'll get to meet them as people. You could do that by going to...
We will literally come into your home and cook you dinner.
Home invasion, you bet. They are here every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, and you can watch live, chat along with us, give us your feedback. I am working on, and I'm going to see a demo of it today, I think, a new way that we could take live calls during the show, if you guys would be interested.
Oh, my goodness.
That. I think that'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
I want to integrate this into all of our shows, because you were doing the chat room questions, and I want to keep doing that, too, but I just love getting the interaction going.
Yeah.
So we'll
like a radio show type thing.
And we'll look at doing that. Yeah. Next Thursday. I'm back. I'm back from NAB. So we'll be on our regular time next Thursday. That's right. Thank you guys for being here. You can, of course, download a copy of this after the fact in the Zoom Marketplace or anywhere better podcasts are aggregated. Just look for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.